Hey, I am officially announcing the 6th annual Shepherd's Crook Intensive in Eminence, Missouri, May 16th through the 18th, and we would love to have you there. This year, AD Robles is going to be the speaker, along with Matt Reynolds and myself, and we're going to be spending 3 days, 2 nights, just having a great time hearing really good teaching, but also having a really great time just doing some cool stuff. We're going to have a strongman competition, we're going to have an arm wrestling competition, and we're going to canoe about 50 miles on two of the most amazing rivers in the Midwest. We would love to have you come. If you're looking for a good father-son trip, this is the trip for you. If you're just looking for a really good men's trip, this is the trip for you. Would love for you to register today. Go to theshepherdscrook.co. Or just reach out to me and I can make sure you're on the list. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hello and welcome back to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. Hope you guys are doing great today. This is episode 500, finally. I've been gone for about a week and a half. Jordan and I and the kids got to go to a conference in Clinton, Tennessee. I'll tell you more about that here in just a minute, but we're finally back. I'm finally back, and here we are with episode 500. Today we're going to talk about the power of Christian in-group preference. I'm going to define what that is. Some of this comes directly from my final talk at the Christ the King conference. But first, we're going to go ahead and pray, and then I have a few preliminary things that I want to talk to you about and ways that you can help us, the ministry, and just the ministry of our family. And for our church family that may be listening in, thank you so much for just the support and the encouragement and listening along the way. And we love you guys dearly. Thank you so much. And then for all the listeners, we love you dearly as well. Thank you for sticking with us. It's episode 500. Let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord's help and then go from there. Father, we just thank you for this time. Ask for blessing upon it. And it's just been a great joy to be able to do this work. And I pray that it has been helpful and impactful for people, both the monologue form, shorter episodes, and the interviews that I've got to do over the years. And as this continues to develop and expand into more outdoor material, I always want to bring just the biblical worldview to bear on everything that we talk about, from fishing and fly fishing to being outdoors and hunting and hiking and all the good things that come with things like Trail Life or Future Men Troop, or that the Christ the King guys are doing, or with our church, the Mighty Men Troop with our troopers. And we just want to honor you in everything that we do, in our family and recreation and all of it. And so we just thank you, and I pray that you'd help me to do that as we continue on barreling through episode 500 into episode 1,000. Ransom, as just Ransom said yesterday, just dad, 500 more to go till 1,000. And so God, that's what I want. I want more than this. I pray that you would bless it over the next 500 episodes and beyond. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, here we go. Here are a few things that you can do to help me out and help us out as a ministry. You know, the Sparks family, we want to honor God and we want to help people. Honor God, help people seems to be the way that God has used our family, and that's what we want to continue to do. So for this this kind of landmark episode or whatever, what I'm doing is I'm just asking for your help to spread the word about the podcast. If it has been encouraging to you, pass it along. Get your phone out and just message somebody if you're listening on your podcast app or whatever, and just send it to somebody that it may be helpful to. Find an episode that you thought was encouraging, and then send that to somebody else that could be encouraged by that. That would be a huge help. Also, one way that you could help is just to leave a rating or review. On the end of the show, every episode, you get that and encouraged to do that. But it really is encouraging to me personally to read those reviews, but it's also helpful with algorithm kind of things. The more reviews, the more somehow or another these get popped up in suggestions for podcast to listen to that are similar to other podcasts. And so the more reviews, the more people that can find the content and hopefully be helped by it. And the next thing you can do is sign up to the YouTube page. If you've not been to the Shepherd's Crook YouTube go check that out. And the audios are posted, obviously, in your podcast feed, and that's the primary source for people to listen and consume this content. But also, I've been doing this on YouTube. After Gab TV went down, I just started uploading to YouTube, and that's been up now for about, I don't know, maybe a year or so. So you want to check that out if you haven't yet. And the final thing I'd ask you to do is jump on over to the Sons and Slaves podcast and sign up for that, subscribe. And then for the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, subscribe as well. Okay, we went to the Christ the King conference. It was just a great privilege to be able to go there, and they'd asked me to preach at their evangelism conference. And Jordan and I and our family, we were just so blessed. We got to stay with the two family. They put us up. John is the guy that was the contact for me. He's been on the show to talk about their future men troop that they have going on at Christ the King. Christ the King is a Baptist church in Clinton, Tennessee, and we have so many friends there now. But people that we had known through Instagram, we actually got to meet live, and they were so hospitable. Every single elder, every single family that had us over to their house, they were wonderful. And so to John and everybody else there that made this happen, thank you so much. Chris Jones is the teaching pastor there, and all of their elders are just phenomenal. And everybody that's from Christ the King that's hearing this right now, I'm just so thankful. Thank you for your generosity and your kindness and your encouragement for our family when we were there. It was a wonderful conference. When those audios come out, for those that are interested, you ought to check that out. John was the other speaker there and did just a phenomenal job. Overall, it was a great time. God is doing a really good work at Christ the King, and it reminds me so much of what's going on within our church. But we were just blessed. We were brought in, and I was brought in to speak there. But for Jordan and I, we were really blessed and encouraged and thankful for our time. So Christ the King crew out there, thank you very much. I appreciate you. One of the things that we ended on at the conference was talking about the power of Christian in-group preference. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to define what in-group preference is for those that may not be familiar with that language. And by the way, on our trip, we got to spend all the time with Christ the King folks. And then we got to go on Sunday yesterday and spend time with Scott and Kelly Tungay, which is great. And Scott has been so helpful for me over the years thinking about tribalism and in-group preference and the power of in-group preference. And this is an idea that so many people have been latching onto in a covenant community, a body that's longing for multi-generational faithfulness in a particular place. They're catching on to this. And I saw this at the church we were at this weekend, where people are hiring people from within the church, and they're building wealth as a church by helping one another out in their business endeavors and partnering together to start new works. And in-group preference is simply a group of people who are preferring this group and loving this group in particular and helping build wealth as a community and helping individuals in that community build wealth. And they're doing this together. So they are from the trades that are in that community to any kind of business that's happening in that community. You're trying to give business and work to the people that you are tied together to covenantally. And so this happens in the Muslim world for sure. The Jews are really good at in-group preference. People have talked about Amish. This is Scott Tungay's talked a lot about that. Amish in-group preference, where if a Amish dude doesn't have a, or if this community doesn't have a trade and they need something done in their community, well, when that tradesman's hired in to go do this work, they'll partner one of the young men or one of the men that are needing some work with that tradesman, and then what they'll end up doing is being able to develop that skill, and they'll slowly develop the ability within their own community to take care of that particular need. And so now somebody in this group now has that skill set, and so they have this in-group preference. Well, now they give all that work that's needed to that individual. And there's something unique with Christian in-group preference compared to any other in-group preference from any other people around the world. It's unique because it's rooted in the love of God in Christ Jesus. It's rooted actually in the atonement of Christ. I wish I would have dove into this a little bit more in greater detail at this conference, but it comes directly from John chapter 13, and I want you to hear verse 34 and 35. A new command I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. How has Jesus loved the disciples? How has Jesus loved you personally, beloved? Well, it's particular. This is the particular love of Jesus for his bride, the church. Jesus loves everybody in a general way, but he has particular love for his disciples. He has particular love for his bride, the church, which is a one-to-one, disciples in the church. It's a particular, unique love that Jesus has. It's a special love that he has for his bride. And then we are called, as the bride of Christ, as the disciples of Jesus, to love as Jesus has loved us. So there is a particular bent, like there is for the husband to the wife who's been commissioned by God to love his wife as Christ loved the church. How is that? Well, it's uniquely, it's unconditionally, and it's particularly. It's a specific aimed love that Christ has for the church that the husband is towards his wife. So he, in some way, loves all women, but he, in particular, loves his wife in a unique, in a special way, in a way that he doesn't love everybody. That's unique love, and it's clear. Same thing with the disciples of Jesus. And then verse 35, we get this: by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. When we have particular in-group preference and love for one another, we are modeling the love that Jesus has for his bride, and we are rooting our in-group preference in the very atonement of Jesus Christ for his people, for his sheep, who he died for in a saving way, not in a general way, but in a saving way. This is what we are to have to one another. And what we're told is that there's an effect of this Christian in-group preference. And this is uniqueness. This is the power of Christians loving one another and taking care of one another. When Christians love one another, take care of one another, the first effect is that the world, that all people will know you are my disciples if you have this particular love. Christian in-group love, in-group preference is so powerful that the watching world or all people recognize, identify, they look out there and they identify, that's something unique, that's something different. That's not just general in-group preference. This is powerful, unique in-group preference that I'm witnessing by these Christians loving one another. And I think this principle has been largely lost in Christian circles, giving business to one another, wealth building within the congregation. And the simplest way we can do this is by looking around in the body of Christ and giving as much work as we possibly can to people within our church. We prefer our church. Now, do we love, as Christians, the entire church, the church global, the Holy Catholic Church? Well, of course, the Catholic, small c, of course we love the church. We love the universal church. But God has put us sovereignly in a particular place with a particular people. And we have a covenant body that we are a part of, that we are members of within our local church. And if we have this unique love for our local church, well then the one way we can demonstrate that is when we pick up the phone or open up the yellow pages or look for somebody to do work within our home, or if we need help with building a home, or if we need help with anything, with, you know, from the bug men that are in your church to the plumber that's in your church, to the electrician that's in your church, to the financial manager that's in your church. You just go down the list. You first go to them and give some of your wealth to them for their service that they provide you. And then what you're expecting is that person is going to do that same thing for you. And as a church community, what you end up doing is collectively building wealth individually, but also corporately as a body. And this ends up having, just like compounded interest does in an individual IRA, what ends up happening is within the church, as there's this in-group preference of loving one another and taking care of one another, well, the wealth of the whole group begins to rise. This is what ends up happening. We've seen this as an example just in our church, where we had a house that had a really large yard. A good friend of mine, Tyler, was like, hey, Graham, why don't you mow? You're looking to mow and start a mowing business. So Graham is a 15-year-old in our church, just turned 15. Actually, he might have just turned 14. Let me see. Graham just had a birthday. I think he's 14. And Tyler's like, hey, this yard needs to be mowed. Why don't you mow it? So Graham is now mowing this yard. He's helping him get a little business started. And we have this within our church too, where there's people in our church that have the small businesses or starting small businesses or wanting to get skills and competencies, and we're helping one another build these skills and competencies. Now, over time, what ends up happening then is those develop into being able to bring remuneration for the work. They're recognizing there's value to this work. And if we can have this shared in-group preference as a people, then what ends up happening is wealth collectively grows, and we, by as Christians, know that we love God and use money. We don't love money and use God to get it. There's a big difference there, and so we're able to use it effectively for the glory of God and for the good of others. That's what we want. I want Christians to have more money than non-Christians. That's what we should want. Wealth is good in the hands of a godly man. Wealth is bad in the hands of a man that loves it. And so we've got to love God enough to see money as a gift, the tool that it is for God's glory and the people's good. So that's power of in-group preference. People recognize that we're disciples of Jesus, that we are Christians because of this in-group preference, this particular love that we have. Secondly, there's wealth building, but also third, there's generational, multi-generational opportunity here. So what I love about this idea and what I think Christ the King is doing so well, even in their pastoral prayer, they're praying that God would keep the children of the church within that community. They're praying for multi-generational faithfulness. Now, think about, again, compounded interest with compounded children. As children have children, and then those children have children, just in a matter of one church, if you are given the grace of God, God graces you with the ability to see your grandchildren, and then maybe even your great-grandchildren, you have all these descendants, and if God keeps everybody close or local, and we recognize, and they recognize this even in their pastoral prayer, that as they're praying that all of their children and grandchildren would know Jesus, and that God would keep many of them close, that there's going to be some of them that do providentially move away. They have to move away for some, you know, reason, or they get married, they leave and cleave, and they end up finding work in Alaska or North Dakota or something, and they end up moving, having to move because of the pursuit of this. So that's a recognition that is a possibility. That's a possibility. But in praying that there would be generation after generation stay in a particular place. So for our church, if we have multi-generation, I mean, my goodness, think about all the children that are in our church right now. If they grow up and marry within our church, and then they have children, and we get to witness this, we get to watch this, and here we are in our 60s now, watching all of our children get married and start having children. And then, by God's grace, if we get to be in our 80s or 90s and watch our great-grandchildren, our grandchildren get married and then have great-grandchildren, we're talking about literally a large, large church, a large footprint in this region, and we're seeing a lot of people who love God and care about the kingdom of God and are bringing the kingdom wherever they go because they have the Holy Spirit of God within them. And so the effect and the power of in-group preference, specifically Christian in-group preference, that's totally different than any other in-group preference. This is actually rooted in the very atonement of Jesus. Love as I have loved you, then the outworking of that is all the benefits that we get to reap from that. And so we have to be a Christian community at Christ Church Carbondale that loves our people, and we prefer giving work to our people. And if we don't have somebody to do the work, okay, well, let's maybe even put support in there. And one idea is, okay, we can say, well, here's $10,000 to start your business. And we just say, and you know what? I don't need it back. Here's 10 grand, go for it. Or I don't need it back. I don't need any interest. Just here, go do this. Or we see a young guy and we're wanting them to start something or learn this trade. Well, we bring them alongside. And I love that we have people in our church right now where there's a young man, one of my other friends, his son is partnering with and come together with an older man in the church. That's not older. I mean, it's Josh. And he's coming alongside and teaching this younger guy how to do what he's doing. And this is just a great way where we can help each other start businesses, get established, and then see the work of God, not just in our life, but in the lives of our children. And then, you know, we have friends. You have friends. You want your friends' children to succeed. And you're expecting that father is going to do everything he can. We're raising sons here. We're raising men. We're raising daughters. We're expecting that father and that mother, that friend of ours and his wife, to do everything he can to establish not just his children, but his grandchildren. And to do that, we're going to need help from one another who have different skills, who have different abilities, and can help also our friends' children. That's what we want to do. I want to help my friends' kids succeed. And so I want to help my own children, but I'm also expecting in our community, in this covenant community, that they're also going to help my children succeed. And so this is the power of Christian in-group preference. And I think it's not just for our church. I think it is a very, very biblical thing. Love as Christ has loved us. Now, how is that? What is that? That's in-group preference. It's particular love rooted in the atonement for the good of and the glory of God and the good of people. And I think it's a powerful thing. That's what we need. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening. Please pass it along and keep coming back. Love you guys. Thanks a ton. Thanks again for listening to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. For more information, you can go to theshepherdscrook.co. Please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes. And if you want to become a member of the Shepherd's Crook, please message me and we'll get you on the list. We hope you have a great rest of your day.